Turn to Revelation chapter 12. We've been talking about the works of the devil. Under four subtitles, the devil needs a place to work. He needs a door to enter, a person to yield, and a place to live. A place to work, a door to enter, a person to yield, and a place to work. Let's look at, begin verse 7 of chapter 12. Revelation. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. What a magnificent verse. I love that one. Prevailed not. The devil cannot prevail if you walk with the Lord, if you walk in the light of his word. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What I want you to notice in verse 7, it says the dragon fought and his angels. And then in verse 9, it says his angels, talking about the devil's angels, were cast out with him. The devil doesn't work alone. We talked about the devil needs a place to work. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. That tells us the devil's working. We also have the testimony of Paul in several places. In Ephesians 2:2, he says the devil is working in the disobedient. And then in Ephesians 6, it talks about the wiles of the devil, which is a word we don't use too much, the strategies, the schemes, and then to the church at Corinth, he talked about the devices of the devil. So the devil is working. He has plans. He has strategies. He has schemes. He has wiles. The good news is you can recognize him and his onslaught because he doesn't change. What he did to Eve, he's still doing today, trying to point us to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Those are his three main fortes. And those are the things that he tries to destroy us with. Do you see here in this passage, verse 9, it says he deceives the whole world. When you're deceived, you think you have the truth, but you don't. You're positive you know the truth, and yet you don't have the truth. If you knew you didn't have the truth, you wouldn't be deceived. You just would embrace a lie, knowingly embrace a lie. But the devil tries to deceive, and that's what he did. The word in Genesis, he beguiled Eve, which means he tricked her, he deceived her. On these same grounds, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And we've covered those three in previous lessons. I want you to see that the devil has angels, and he doesn't work alone. He has a team that work with him. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we don't know how many, but we know there are many. Because the scripture says in this same chapter that one third of the angels fell with Satan. Satan was a created being. He was perfect, the scripture says, in all his ways from the day he was created. And then he rebelled against Almighty God. He says, I'll exalt my throne above the stars. It means he had a realm of authority. He had a divine assignment in his perfection, something he was supposed to do and accomplish. And then he decided to promote himself. He said, I'll move my throne to the sides of the north. That's the house and home of God. So he had been in the place of God, in the presence of God, and knew something about the power of God because it said he had been among the stones of God and stones that were his construction stones. So he had been where God was. He knew something about God's power. He had been in God's home, but he's cast out because of his rebellion. And when he was cast out, since he was cast out because of his beauty and his pride over his beauty, there wasn't anything created that was more beautiful than the devil. Can you imagine? When I look in the mirror, one thing I know, I'll never fall to pride over my beauty. Been tempted in other ways, but that just doesn't happen to be one that'll trip me up. But he fell, and he took one third of the angels with him. Well, the scripture is clear there's an innumerable company of angels. So there's plenty of his team here. He has a great team. He has a great number of people, spirits working for him. And they're out to kill, steal, and destroy. They're out to deceive you. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, this is the writing of the Apostle Paul. Let me get over where you are. Verse 12. We wrestle not. Well, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The strategies are schemes. No, he has plans. He's working. He's not idle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think people are against us, but it's actually the spirit that prompts the people. Don't look at the people. Look at the spirit. The people are free of the spirit. They won't be hassling you. Against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is reference to the devil's team. He's highly organized. And his team has various degrees of authority. You can tell that by the use of the words chosen by the King James. It talks about powers, talks about rulers, and then it talks about wickedness in high places, or we might say wickedness in the highest places. Those are those that would really be in charge. Dr. Hagin, who discussed this with the Lord, said that principalities have very little understanding, very little knowledge, and do very little on their own. They basically obey orders. But as you progress, this is somewhat of a military regime. They have more and more power, more and more authority. So he has a vast team, a vast organization of evil spirits who rebelled against Almighty God. See, all the world was created by God. The scripture says in Colossians 1, everything created was created by God. There isn't anything created that God didn't create. Well, God didn't create the devil evil, and he didn't create evil angels or demonic spirits, depends upon which you want to call them. We can't be clear from the scripture if evil angels and demonic spirits are the same thing, but we do know they're all fallen spirits who rebelled against Almighty God, who tried to take over. And when the devil tried to take over, they came into agreement with him and was cast out of heaven. See, God doesn't have a devil problem. When the devil rose up in heaven and said, I'll exalt my throne, God said, out! And that was the end of it. And Jesus, I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. Now, you know you're in the lightning capital of the United States. You knew that, didn't you? We're in the lightning belt. There's more lightning across the lightning belt, which runs from Titusville to somewhere, I believe, than any other place. And lightning does damage a great deal of distance. And you can not see the lightning or hear the thunder in a distance and think that you will escape, and yet it'll be right at your doorstep. It can do damage a great distance from where it is. And the devil has this team that works for him that can do great damage all over the world. And they're not up to anything good. They're up to evil. So they have various degrees of power and authority, various ranks and orders, and that's what I wanted you to see. Now look at Matthew 17. This is a good news lesson when we get to the end. Don't leave before the end. This is the man that brought his son to Jesus. Verse 15 said his son was lunatic. Actually brought him to the disciples first, and they couldn't help the boy. And Jesus came, verse 18, and says, rebuked the devil and departed out of him. Then verse 21 is what I want you to see. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fast. Do you see this kind? So once again, we see there are many different kinds. Now, in the scripture, the word unclean devil is used 22 times. It's used more than the others. You hear reference to deaf and dumb spirits, blind spirits, lying spirits, familiar spirits. Familiar spirits know enough about you and your life to trick you and deceive you and convince you that you're hearing from God when you're not really hearing from God. The scripture talks about and gives names to different kinds of demons. Now, we know the devil has a vast organization. We know they have different degrees of power, different ranks. They have an order of authority, somewhat similar to a military regime, and in their ranks, they have different kinds. Now, the word unclean is used generally and specifically. All demons are unclean. They don't make a clean demon. They're in a clean devil. So in a general sense, they're all unclean. But in a specific sense, an unclean devil makes you unclean. The Gadarene demoniac who lived in the tombs or in the cemetery and was naked was listed as an unclean demon. That's a specific demon that brought to that man what he was. And when you have a dumb and deaf demon, obviously you can't hear. If you have a blind demon, obviously you can't see. Now, not every disease is demonic. You have to know that by revelation of the spirit. If you're dealing with a disease, you know stuff happens in the human body, it is mortal. Or you're dealing with a devil. If you're dealing with a specific devil, he has to be exited and cast out or you won't get well. But you have to have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, some other things functioning in order to know what you're dealing with. And God gives us those gifts and gives those gifts to the church so that the church can stand free and stand in the victory that was purchased. Now, though there are different kinds of demons, different kinds, different ranks, military regime, and degrees of authority in demonic spirits. Now look at Matthew chapter 12. Verse 43. These three verses are very important. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest, finds none. Then he saith, I will return to my house. He'll return where? My house. He considered the place that he had lived, the man that he had inhabited, his house. He had taken over. He had obviously been cast out. He had tried to find another place to live. See, they have a work to do. They have deception and destruction, and they follow orders. They come in different groups and kinds and measures with different degrees of authority, but they're always seeking to do a work and to live a place. They do their best work if they have a place to live. Well, you can understand, you do your best work if you have a place to live, don't you? Can you imagine not having a place to live and doing well? They give more expression and do more destruction if they have a place of habitation. He says, I'm going back to my house. Now, when he went back to this man, from whence I came out, when he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Very dangerous. Then goeth he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Do you see there's degrees of wickedness? Some devils are meaner than others. Interesting, isn't it? They enter in and dwell there. Now, in demon possession, we talked about, comes all the way from repression to possession in what is called demonization. You can't tell how demonized or how harassed or how tormented somebody is. But there's a progression. Nobody starts on 1 and goes to 10. You could do 1, 3, 5. You could do 1, 2, 6. You could do 7, 8, and finish there. There's a progression in what the devil's doing. He's always working to control more and more and more and more and more. To live bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. To have more and more and more of your temple. More and more and more of your house. Now, when it begins, it's that you just don't go forward anymore. You're just not going forward. And this is the simple lay explanation to help you grasp this. We've discussed most of this before, so this is review if you've been here. You just don't go forward anymore. And then you find later, as the devil progresses, see, he can't do anything that you don't give to him. It says, neither yield yourself to the devil. He has to find a door of entrance. You are not free game to him. You belong to God. You are born of God. You are bought with a price. You are not free game. He harasses you, torments you, attempts to influence you to find a place in your life. And if you give him a place, then he hunts a bigger place and a bigger place and a bigger place. You know, you watch House and Garden, at least I do. It's amazing to me. Somebody with one child or two child with a 2,000, 2,500 square feet out and thinks they need one 5,500 square feet. I'm always thinking, who's going to clean that? I said, oh, I get it. You've got a dirty one room, close the door and move on to the next. Maybe that's how it works. I don't know. I don't want a bigger house. But the devil wants more and more territory, gives more and more expression to his life, does more and more destruction. And there are degrees of evil, degrees of wickedness. Now, in the beginning, you just don't move forward. And then you realize you can't move forward. And then after a while, you don't want to move forward. Forget it. And then you're depressed. Depression is too sad to move forward. And then you're oppressed. When you're oppressed, you're in too much bondage. You're carrying too much weight, too many burdens to move forward. And then you're consumed by those weights. You're obsessed with those weights. You're totally focused on those weights, and you can't move forward. And then you're controlled, and you can't move forward, and that's possession. Now, no Christian can be possessed because your spirit belongs to God. You're a new creature. You're born of God. To possess you, spirit, soul, and body, you'd have to run the Holy Ghost out of your spirit, and I just don't think that's going to happen. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. So only sinners can be totally possessed. You won't see anybody totally possessed. They're in institutions. It's not likely that you've ever seen one. And possession can come and go. The devil works for a while and then he takes a break. Some people seem perfectly sound one minute and crazier than a bed bug the next. Because the devil can come and go. Does his dirty work. My sister worked for a while in a psychiatric ward. She's a school teacher. I thought it was a terrible idea, but they were required to give certain amounts of education to people, to children and teenagers in that ward. And so that's what they asked her to do. And she said she would. I begged her not to. But actually, it worked out fine. She was right and I was wrong. You know, nobody can tell you what God is dealing with you about. You be careful if you give somebody else advice. You may lead them astray. And it worked out fine for her. And she would tell me story. She wasn't allowed to wear shoes with shoestrings, wasn't allowed to wear any jewelry, any earrings of any sort. And they would, when they misbehaved, they would take them away. They would disappear. And then after a while, weeks or days later, they would reappear. And all she was to do was to teach them. And so that's what she did. And she loved it. She did quite well there. And that ward is no longer in operation. That's why she's no longer there. But she loved it. Because there are degrees of possession, there's the coming and going of evil. Because you have to yield. And one little boy was in the soundproof room. It's all padded, beating his head against the wall, hollering, "I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't." She stuck her head in there, and he said, and told him what to say. The nurses wanted him to do one thing, and she encouraged him, just do that one thing. And he said, "I won't, I won't." All he had to do to get rid of that is stick his head out and say, "I will." All he had to do was obey. All he had to do was obey. See, he chose, he decided. Now, granted, he may have been under some demonic pressure, but you have a free will, and no devil takes your will. Now, as you move down the progression of can't do, too sad to do, and too burdened to do, there's a point in which you obviously cannot get free by yourself when you're going to need somebody to help you. You see that in the Gadarene demoniac. He was already too tied up, too bound, and without the power of the Holy One of God, he would not have been free. But everybody who wants to be free can be free. You don't have to be tied in a knot and bound, because Jesus has come and defeated Satan and brought us victory. We have victory. And it doesn't matter how many demons are there, how evil they are, what degree of power or authority they possess, they're always subject to the power of the risen Christ. Always subject to the power of the risen Christ. Now let's look at a verse that I like, 1 Peter 3. I hadn't really noticed it till I was studying this lesson. The devil attempts three basic things to destroy Christians. First, he tries to convince you there really is no devil. We have religions that believe that, that teach that. We have Christians that really don't believe in the devil. That's his first attack. He can get you, there is no devil. Then you're fair game. You know, if you're standing in the middle of the road and I convince you there aren't any cars, there's never any cars, nobody's invented the car, some car's going to come along and knock you down. Because you bought a lie. Well, the first attack is there's no devil. Well, if he can't get that to work, that there's no devil, then he does not want you to know that he's been defeated. He does not want you to know the blood's been shed. He does not want you to know that Jesus spent 3 days in hell and made a public show and display over him and triumphed. If he can keep you from knowing that he's a defeated foe, then that's what he'll do. He keeps you ignorant. If you believe there's a devil, you won't buy the no devil thing. He tried to keep you from having knowledge. No knowledge. No devil, no knowledge. Now, the third is very interesting. He tries to keep you from speaking words of faith. If he can keep you speaking negatively, talking about your problem and your dilemma, how bad it is, how harmful it is, what's going wrong in your life, then he can defeat you. He can defeat you through the words of your mouth, because by your words you'll be condemned, by your words you'll be justified. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you believe there's a devil and you know he's been defeated, the third thing he'll do in order to wind your clock too tight, you know, if you wind a clock too tight, it goes, explodes. Do y'all have a clock that winds? We have Wayne's grandmother's clock made in between 1890 and 1900. And you can wind that thing too tight and then its life is over. We also have a clock that winds in the other room, and you have to wind them just right. I don't know anything about winding. But I watch Wayne. One has to be wound every week. One has to be wound every 30 days. So you know generally they're not running. Nobody takes time to wind the clocks. Well, the devil wants to wind you so tight that you will explode. He doesn't want you to say the right thing. He doesn't want you to have a confession of Scripture. He doesn't want you to go around saying, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me." He wants you to say, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow." He wants you to worry and fret. He wants you to be anxious. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be full of doubt. He wants all of those words out of your mouth. If you do believe there's a devil, his first line would be, "There's no devil." If he can't get you there, he'll say, well, he doesn't want you to have any knowledge of who you are in Christ, of the defeat of Satan. If you begin to learn who you are and that Satan's been defeated, then he wants to be sure you never quote the Scripture, you never say the right thing. He wants to keep faith, confession out of your mouth and all your words to be negative. And on those three grounds, he defeats most Christians. It's interesting, isn't it? It makes me want to shape up, doesn't it, you? You know, in our town, they've just put up cameras at red lights. Doesn't that make you want to shape up? makes me want to shape up. Now, I'm not a red light runner. I'm not a yellow light runner. I'm one of those people that actually obeys the law and slows down when I see a yellow light. I am very obedient. And in spite of the fact that I know I'm obedient, I still had a moment of fear. I thought, I hope that green light doesn't turn yellow. I'm slowing down now for greens as I go under. In case they turn yellow, I don't want to be on anybody's camera. My brother calls from Savannah. I said, guess what happened? He said, I got a ticket. They took my picture at this light. Then my sister-in-law, guess what happened? I said, y'all need to. Those yellow lights don't mean speed up and run through. They mean slow down. See, when you have knowledge, you take caution. And when we have knowledge of what's happening, we take caution. When we know our words will condemn us and give devil a place, it says, don't give him a place. If I invite six people to dinner and you bring a seventh person, a child or something that I didn't know was coming, there'd be no place for them. I'd have to set a place for them. And for the devil to get you, you have to set a place for him. He doesn't start with possession. He can't overrun you with obsession. He starts small, he's tricky, and he deceives, and he moves gradually to control your life. Well, here's 1 Peter 3:22. This is talking about Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Angels and authorities and powers being made obedient unto him, are put under him, are subdued by him. That means it doesn't matter how wicked they are, how many they are, what rank they have, how much authority they have, what kind they are. They're always subject to the power of the risen Christ. You have nothing, absolutely nothing to fear. You know, one minister used to say there's a devil behind every bush. Well, he was joking. I don't know if that's true or not. I know there's a good number of them, but it won't matter to you because greater is he that's in you. Because you know who you are. Because you know he's been defeated. You wouldn't just let somebody move into your house. I mean, they just open the door and you come around. Somebody's sitting in the living room looking through their purse. I said, I've got a man bringing my bags in. I'm going to take the master bedroom. You can stay in the guest room for a while and then I expect to be out at the end of the month. I'd just get out my deed and I'd call the police. Why don't you get out your deed? It's called Holy Bible. Why don't you get out your deed? Why don't you get out the book that tells you who you are and what rights you have? Because devils, demons, and evil spirits cannot do what you do not let them do. Now, none of you are so far gone that you could not stand with your own willpower and with the word of the living God and overcome. There are people, I've told you, who get that way over a period of time of releasing themselves to the devil. A lot of times traveling in the wrong company. You travel with demon-possessed people. You travel with oppressed and obsessed people. You travel with druggies. You become one. We've had people get born again who were alcoholics, totally dry, totally walk with God, go back to the bar to witness, end up drinking and drunk, never walk with God again. Could call their name. Because the wrong crowd, that's why you guard your children, that's why you protect them. And you are the mother, you put your foot down, you say no. Now let's practice. I just like to practice because I already found out, I've been teaching since 1977, people do not do what you tell them to do. Okay, we have a child going off with a group of druggies. What are we going to say?
No.
What are we going to say?
No.
That's exactly right. You have authority. How about using it? I've been reading some articles on child rearing. Suzanne put them in my reading stack. I don't know why, because I don't have any children at home, but I'm all geared up. I've got my no ready. Very interesting reading. Very, very interesting reading. We won't go there today, but maybe one day. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. He has authority. Verse 9 and 10, which with you are familiar. God hath highly exalted Jesus and given Jesus a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Beings in heaven, beings in earth, beings under the earth. And things, the word things was added by the translators. It would have been better if they'd said beings. And so I put beings in there. You haven't altered it. In fact, you've clarified it for yourself. Do you see every being, even beings under the earth? Heavenly beings, satanic beings, earthly beings, all bow at the name of Jesus. God had authority. He has authority. Satan has been defeated. You belong to God. Now, if we're going to plant a tree on our front part of our property years ago, Wayne's dad, decades ago now, let a gentleman raise orange trees there, and he planted some sour rootstock because it's great rootstock, and he grafted trees for better oranges. He just wanted that stock, those particular roots. Now, one thing you don't do is take this wonderful rootstock and take a branch or a limb that's diseased and graft it on. Dum, da, dum, dum, dum. So Jesus is the head and we're the body. One thing he can't do and he won't do is graft a sinful body into a holy head. Hebrews said we're separate from sinners. Jesus is separate from sinners. We are the sinners. He's separate from sinners. So in order to make us a part of the body, that means a victorious functioning part of the body. That means enjoying the body of head. He's got to shed his blood, cleanse us, clean us up, change us, make us new spirits, get rid of all the disease, all the sin, all the temptation, all the junk, remit every sin, blot it all out, make us a new creature, give us eternal life, and then he grafts us into the head. Then everything that's in the head comes into my life. That's why it says be strong in the Lord. Because as long as I'm grafted into the head, as long as I'm the body grafted into the head, see, then the victory he had over every name that is named, beings in heaven, beings in earth and hell, functions through the head into my life. Now, I have violets. I grow violets. And when the leaves get really big and grow over the side of the pot, you're supposed to repot. I don't repot anything. You grow until you die, and I throw you out. You don't have to grow them like I do. There are plenty of violets on the market. You can get you another one. I've got some I've had for a decade, probably more. And when they get really big and they outgrow the pot, they'll grow over the edge of the pot, and the leaf is heavy, and it'll lean on the edge of the pot. And just leaning on the edge of the pot, it makes a little bitty indention in the stalk. I mean a little bitty indention because it's leaning on the pot for support. And that little bitty indention that could be only a 1/16 of an inch will cause that leaf to eventually die. It affects the flow of what's in the root system. We water every week with a special fertilizer. And that's one thing we do right. Violet, special violet fertilizer. And that fertilizer goes up through the roots into the, all the way down into the leaf. But if that leaf has gotten heavy and it's leaning on that pot for support and there's that little bitty 1/16 of an indention, it doesn't get the right amount of nutrients and it will eventually die. And it's not going to take much of a dent and your walk with God before the devil finds you out. And you in all holiness, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, were connected to God, who is holy. In the scriptures, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is just pleasing God at all times. This makes repentance real important, doesn't it? I love repentance. My, if we can just go to God and say, I did that. I was reading, I've been reading all kinds of things on demonic spirits just to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. And this man said when he goes to bed at night, that's when the devil always bothers him. And he said he found out how to outdo the devil. I don't know if this worked for you. I don't think it worked for everybody. This is what this man does, and I just thought it was really cute. He said, the devil says, you did this and you did that. And you know, the devil has great, he takes you back to 1952 when you told a lie in the sixth grade. That's what he does. He said he just lets the devil go down his list, and he said, here, get your pencil. You left out some things. Let me add two. Don't let the devil outfox you. Don't let him rape your mind. Amen. You don't want anybody raping your body. You don't want the devil raping your mind. And I use that expression because I think you can get it. It's a little graphic, but you can get it. Greater is he that is... Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater than Satan who's in the world. Satan's in the world. He has a time span on the earth, and he will be here until that time span is over. And then he'll be cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then he'll be released on the earth for a very short period of time, and then completely defeated and cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. His days are numbered. It says in Revelation, he knows he has but a short time. That's why he's so busy. He wants to do all he can do. And when Jesus cast out those demons, one of them said, are you going to cast us out before the time? Now, how afraid do we have to be of somebody that's working on a short time span? Just in the natural. I always tell people, if you don't like your real life class, that teacher's going to be gone. If you don't like my teaching, I'm only going to be here 4 weeks. Stick around, I'll be gone. I said, if you don't like this class, you just can't stand me another week, find another class. How worried are you going to even be about somebody's just standing there for 4 weeks? 6 weeks. Very rarely longer than that. His time, his days are numbered. Now, one thing the Lord said to me years ago that helped me with the devil, said he has not been eliminated, he has been defeated. He does live here. He is the God of this world, and he'll be the God of the world as long as his time span is operating. But he has no power, no authority over you. Let's look at it again. Let's look at Luke 10. Man, if I just know that. Jesus sent out 70 people two by two, and this is their report, verse 17, when they came back. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. 10:17. Your key to victory is to remain tightly bonded to the head and allow the life of the head and the power of the head and the strength of the head to constantly flow into you and to stay out of sin. Now, we talked about it 1 week. That includes worry. It includes fear. It's not just theft and lying and adultery. It includes worry, it includes fear, it includes doubt. And all that man was doing tonight, saying, yeah, I did those things, but I've repented and I'm covered by the blood. You write them down if you want to. But I'm forgiven. To be so aware, to keep the life and the power flowing into you. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We have that in several other, it's in Isaiah and again in Ezekiel. Satan was cast out. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you. What did he say? I'm giving you. I'm giving you. I'm giving this to you. See, it's not my might, not my ability. It's not my mental acumen. It's what he gave me. I'm giving you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. That tells you there are kinds of demons. That tells you there are, because there's a lot of different kinds of serpents. There are different kinds of scorpions as well. It tells you there are different kinds of demons, different degrees of power and authority in the demonic kingdom. But it doesn't matter who they are, what their name is, how they come, they have no power over a child of God who stays bonded to the head and takes advantage of the power of the risen Christ that's in that head. Do you get that? He said, I gave you power, tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, there are two words for power here. The King James doesn't help us with the word power. It takes the word authority, makes it power. It takes the word ability, makes it power. Two different words translated the same. This verse actually says, Jesus said, I give you authority. I give you authority. See, when he was, just before he went to heaven, what did he say in Matthew 28? All power, which is the word authority, he says, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. And he says to these 70, I give you power. Or authority. Over all, and then it changes, that's the word ability. I have authority over his ability. I don't have ability over his ability. I don't have the ability to defeat him. I have the authority to defeat him. Now, this is so cute because everybody used the example of a policeman, and I like that, and they stand in the middle of the road, and they put their hand out, and they tell you to stop. And you stop because not because of their ability. They don't have the ability to stop you. I do not have the ability to put Satan in his place. I have the authority to speak to him. And my Father says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, and when I speak, God takes action and backs up my words with his power. He said, you say it, Becky, I'll be there to do it. Jesus said that himself in John 14. In that particular verse in Matthew 18. My responsibility is to stand in my position of authority granted by heaven. Stand in authority. Now who's the one to be afraid of? The person with authority or the person with ability? You may be the best singer in the United States of America, but if you come to Family Worship Center and they say you can't sing, your ability means nothing. It's never the man with ability we're concerned about. It's the person with authority. You may be the best accountant in the market, and you go to a business that I am accountant. I have these 25 degrees. I have my doctorate in 7 subjects, and I'm going to straighten out your accounting. And if we don't want you in our books, all we have to do is say, no, thank you. Authority is always greater than ability. Always greater. Authority always trumps ability. And that says, he says, I'm giving you authority over all of Satan's ability. Oh, do you get that? That's magnificent. I'm giving you authority over all of Satan's abilities. I'm giving this to you. I'm giving it to you. All I have to do is say to Satan, do you know who I am? Or if he points out some sin. You know, if I leave my front door open because we live in a wooded area, we'd have snakes. We've already had snakes in the house. We'd have raccoons and armadillos. Even seeing a little red fox goes through every now and then. There's no telling what would come in. See, once you open the door to the devil, he brings in all of his friends. When we go back to Matthew, it says, the man says, I'll go back to my house, my house, my house. He has to have a place to live. Just don't let his place be your place. So I'll go back to my house, and he says, I'm going to bring 7 others. This tells us that demons have the ability to communicate. He says, I'm going to go get 7 others more wicked. They know one another. They have the ability to communicate. But if you're totally possessed, and you wouldn't be, you're a Christian, it's only one demon that does the possessing. You can tell that from the Gadarene demoniac. Only one demon is in charge. And when the Gadarene demoniac had a legion, it says he was possessed with a devil and had a legion. That a devil that possessed him brought all of his friends until he had invited 2,000 friends at least to inhabit that man. Because there were 2,000 pigs, and each one went over a cliff. So I'm just putting that together with my own little brain. Is that all right with you? But you're only molested by one. But they do communicate. He said, I will go back to my house. So he had the ability to decide. He said, I will. And it says he said, so he's talking. They talk, they think, they decide, they communicate. But they have no power over the man of God who stands in the authority granted by heaven and stays bonded to the head. And if I find I'm leaning just a little bit, have an indention anywhere, I say, Father, forgive me. I want to repeat this because I said it last week and it's just in my mind again. Reformation without repentance will not bring you the blessing of heaven. Now, there are people who reform. They commit adultery. They just realize they don't want to do that. They're not going to do that anymore. They quit smoking. And they have somehow maybe medical help. I appreciate medical help. And they just don't smoke anymore. But until you repent and say, I abused my body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I ask you to forgive me, you will not open the door to heaven's blessings. Reformation without repentance is ineffective. I see that happening, and I want to say it again so you'll get it. I see it happening, and I don't think anybody's paid any attention. We're so thrilled that you quit smoking. See, I quit drinking coffee years ago. I drank, told you that, 24 cups a day. Huh. And the reason I quit, because the Bible talks so much about self-control and being under the authority of nothing, and I definitely was not self-controlled or under the authority. And it was the Scripture and my leaning on the Scripture that helped me. I tried for months to quit drinking coffee. I went to hot tea, didn't really like it. Now I drink it fairly well, but I didn't like it. I went to decaf, didn't like that. Thought maybe I could switch, you know, brands on God, but you can't trick God. And then for a long time, I just drank hot water. I mean, for a couple years, drank hot water. I just couldn't get free. But real freedom is not in willpower. It's in Holy Ghost power. Amen. It's a sin, God, I have abused my body because I have breached your commandment to not be brought under the power of anything, and I'm definitely under the power of coffee. I ask you to forgive me. And where there's repentance, heaven opens up to rescue and deliver and set free. You may be one of those people that can just be set free with willpower, but there aren't too many out there. Most of them need a lot of word and a lot of Holy Ghost power. Isn't that a marvelous thing that God will help you? Well, let's see. I'm so glad the Lord led us along this line. I never really have studied this out thoroughly, and I've had a wonderful time gaining some knowledge. These are the words of Jesus, Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe. That means this works for any believer. You don't have to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist. You don't have to have any special calling, any special anointing. These signs follow them that believe. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this will work for you. In my name shall they cast out devils, or we would say in my name they take authority over devils. You cannot cast the devil out of somebody if they like their devil, if they're entertaining their devil, if they're clinging to their devil. You can't just cast it out. You can never supersede the will of man. If I come to you and want your help, then you can help me. If I surrender my will by saying, please help me, then you can help me. But otherwise, you can't help me. I read years ago a missionary in a little town, Mexico, just passing through, found a demonic man tied to a tree, passed him by and didn't help him. Refused to help him, refused to pray for him. And people criticized him for that and they asked him why. He said, because there's no church in this town, there's no gospel in this town, there's no message in this town. I cast this devil out and this man is going to end up in worse condition because there's nobody to fill him up with the word of God and protect him from the onslaught of the devil. Because you remember the devil, Matthew 12? He retreated, but he what? And when he came back, what did he find? The house was... See, it pays. Keep filling yourself up. Keep filling yourself up. One gentleman that was a criminal psychologist on deviant behavior. And years of working in that field caused that demon that everybody he faced had some demon or other. You just don't do those sort of things without the help of the devil. No man in his right mind does those sort of things. No woman in their right mind does those sort of things. And over years of practicing, he became very demon-oppressed and then obsessed and very frightened by his own behavior. And having studied it out thoroughly, he knew the track, what would happen, what he would eventually do, because that's what those devils do. And if you open up your door to them, that's what you'll do. See, they make you what they are. They make you what they are. That's why you need to stay full of the Word of God. So when they cast that devil, he went to somebody for help. And when they cast that devil out of him, they made him promise to read his Bible and pray in tongues so long every day. That's the only way he's going to stay free. You cannot remain an empty vessel. You cannot remain empty. If you remain empty, the devil is coming back. He finds you empty, he's moving in. But there's power and authority in the Word of the living God. And if you just meditate in the Word and say, I can do all things through Christ, greater is he that's in me. And allow the Word and the power of that Word to fill your heart and to fill your spirit. It is your protection. And it was the Word that ran the devil off when he came to Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus kept saying, it's written. And he brought those same three temptations to Jesus that he brought to Eve. What he'll do to you, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. Same temptations, Luke chapter 4. But Jesus kept saying, it's written. See, everybody that wants to be free can be free. If you can't be free by taking a stand for yourself, there are people who can help you. But once you're free, you better be sure you stay full of God and full of the Word of God. Now let me say again, it doesn't matter how many devils there are, doesn't matter how wicked they are, doesn't matter how much power they have, doesn't matter how what their rank or their authority. The devil even have numbers, and it doesn't matter what their number is. That's why it says, my name is Legion, for we are many, because sometimes they have numbers. It doesn't matter their number, their rank, their name, their kind. They do have no authority over the power of the risen Christ. The greater one lives within you. You are bought with a price. If you fill your spirit and surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ, you are not a candidate for demonic oppression of any name or number. That means you got to stay full of the Word and stay repentant. Stay repentant. Stay bonded to the head. I don't believe you can. I think it'd be better, I'm put it this way, to over-repent rather than under-repent. Let me just say it that way. You got it? Oh, I'm so grateful, our Father, what you've taught me, what I've learned by reading and studying. I couldn't be more grateful. I see things clearer than I've ever seen them before. I see some things about the head and the body that are helping me. Oh, I thank you that you'll continue to teach us so that we can teach others. We yield to you completely. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do in this place. And we thank you for every one of these ladies for the information imparted. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.